Good morning. It's now time for the Taos Methodist Church service from Taos City on the Bay's Best, WIOS.
Because during the sermon, you'd have something to do. This is up here, so I'm just going to read it, okay? The search committee has decided they would like your ideas on what we need in a new pastor. Thank you for the responses we received. Your answers will greatly help in the search. Those were the papers we were to turn in last week, and I am betting if something happened and you couldn't make it last week, they would still accept them. The Taos Methodist Women's Meeting has been rescheduled to Tuesday the 23rd at 1, so that would be this week. So, the Worship Committee will meet Wednesday, January 24th at 1 p.m., Pastor's book study will resume this week, Wednesday, the 24th, at 7 p.m. On Monday, also, we have new office hours. I don't know if you've all caught that. They're now closed. She's closed Monday, but will be here on Friday. So, just a little switch. On Monday, yeah, these are all old. She's given me an old thing, so I'm not reading these. They passed. Okay, Monday, January 22nd, Ladies Bible Study at 11 a.m. Tuesday, January 23rd, Prayer Ministry at 5 o'clock, Bell Choir Practice at 6:15. Wednesday, the 24th, Sanctuary Choir at 5:45, Book Study at 7. And Thursday, we have our Classy Crafters at 2. What are the Classy Crafters making? Anybody? I don't get to it, but I think it would be very fun. We should go and check it out. Sunday, January 28th, is the youth program at 4 o'clock here at the church. And new office hours. So, before we do our hymn, what is making that do that?
I think you're touching it, probably.
I'm not. Before our hymn, Bob Ritzma would like to get up. He has a message for us. So we're going to let him have a few minutes.
I am going to be a proud on the 14th February. So we have the same thing up front that you would all about. The mission trip and on Mexico. We build houses. The alternative government there is not a church state problem. I'll
For our call to worship.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. Our call to worship. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground.
On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those who help the God of Jacob, those who fear the Lord their God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I couldn't help but think. We see on the news all the time, we're living in a broken world. In these other countries, you see the people running for their lives, and we feel sorry for them, and we can pray for them. And then in our own America, the violence is even getting closer and closer. And then reality sets in, like it did last Friday morning for two separate families. Three young teenagers got in a wreck. Two lives were lost. It brings us close to home, and it makes us realize how unpredictable life is. It could be taken at any time, and how important it is to have the Lord Jesus Christ with you and in you. So when something like this happens, it helps bring a peace that we wouldn't have. And we'll also know that we'll get to see them another time. I'm sure you have prayers on your mind. As we approach God's throne this morning, we're going to start in silent prayer. I'll lead us in prayer, and we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. So take those concerns to the Lord at this time. Let's pray. Our eternal God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning giving thanks that you're the giver of all good things. And you'll tell us you'll never leave us or forsake us in our time of need. And Father, we pray for those who are suffering throughout this world, for all this violence that has taken place, this broken world, Lord. And for the families that are mourning the loss of their loved ones. And we ask, Lord, that you would bring a peace and a calmness that's beyond our imagination that we're unable to do, Lord. Just let your presence be with them. We pray for our church family, those who are dealing in these diseases that this sinful world brings on us, cancer, kidney, heart disease, all those, Lord. And we know, Lord, as we pray, that your timing is always perfect. And your answer is always what's best for those that we pray for. And we ask, Lord, that we pray in your will, knowing that your will be done. And now, Father, we raise the prayer you gave your disciples so long ago and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The children are excused for junior church.
Governor told them not to eat the priest's share of food from the sacrifices until a priest could consult the Lord about the matter of using Urim and Thummim, the sacred lot. These are the words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. This is the second week in a series through the book of Ezra. Ezra, as you know from last week, is a book about Israelite people returning from exile back to the land of Israel in order to build the temple of God. That's the main theme of the book. And this week, we're talking about a very interesting thing that happened, and if you could kind of get through all of the difficult names that are hard to pronounce, there's a real lesson here for all of us. In verses 59 to 63. So I'd like to begin with a question this morning. Is your name written in God's record? Really, that's the question of lifetime, isn't it? That's the question we all want to know the answer to. Throughout the history, throughout human history, the people of Israel have been known as God's chosen people. Right? I think we all know that. The obvious logic behind that statement is that other nations are not God's chosen. The difference is found in the word exclusive. Exclusive. Not a popular word these days in our society. To be exclusive is to separate one from another and to focus on one and to not focus on the other. Dr. Seuss, that great scholar, illustrated this by using cartoon characters called Sneetches. Do you remember that story? The Sneetches? There were Sneetches who had stars on their bellies, and there were Sneetches who had none upon theirs. In society, nobody likes to be excluded, but it is very much a part of all of our lives every day. Even the people screaming inclusive, inclusive in our society at the top of their lungs are just as much exclusive as anybody else. We cannot live without being exclusive. We're exclusive when we drive our cars or our bicycles through an intersection. Those with the green light can go
be with anyone that is having trouble, family trouble, or health. I would ask for you to bless them. Be with us today as we do this service. Help me say your words, give your message, and that just even if one person gets something, I will praise you. So we will close this with saying the prayer that you have given us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen. Talk about this particular area. Will you come up? Just come up here, find a seat. Have a seat right here. You're going to face me because I'm going to be telling you some stuff. Okay. Well, how is everyone today? Good. Did you have school all week? Oops, I'm sorry. I'm not good at this. Did you have days off for the snow this week? Did you only 2 days off? Did you get a lot of snow? We got a ton. We got a ton. Well, today we're going to talk about where you are, okay? This whole area is called our sanctuary, which is a safe haven, that we're safe here and God is with us. This area where you are is the holy area. The altar is something that the Jewish people used as part of their worship. They presented things to God. That's why we put our offering up here, because it is our sacrifice that we are giving God. It's the place where, again, way back, you would have to have your shoes off to come here, because it's holy. And you would be very, very solemn and prayerful, because this is the holy part of our church. Okay? I just wanted to share that with you. And before you go, I have up here, I put them on the altar, so I feel like they are blessed. And it's just a little piece of wood. This one says Savior on it. And then it has a Bible verse for you to look up for Savior. They're all different. So you can come up one by one. I don't want pushing, or remember, we're in a holy place where we're supposed to be quiet and prayerful. So if you want to come up and get one, and then we'll have a prayer, and you can hold yours for the prayer, or I can pass them out. You want me to pass them out, or do you want to come up and get it? Okay. All right, I'm going to scooch back. Do you want to stand up? You take one and then scooch out of the way. Can you get in there? Okay. Do you want to see what else there is here? You look like you were maybe wanting to switch. Okay, but did you get one? You know what yours says? Yours says cornerstone. Cornerstone. God is the corner. Jesus is the cornerstone of our church and faith. Yours says servant. Jesus was a servant. And I'm going to talk about that today. But I think you might be in junior church. Is there junior church? Okay. Let's have a prayer. Okay? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this sanctuary, for this altar area, the holy area. Help us to remember that when we are in the sanctuary or the holy area, we are to be respectful. We are to be quiet and not be talking. We are to honor you. Help us take these words we have in our hand and read them, and look it up in the Bible where that word came from. So be with these kids as they go on to junior church. Thank you for Sharon and everyone that is keeping that going. It is a good way to serve God. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Alrighty, you can head to junior church with Mrs. Schlegel. Well, you can, can't you? Think about it.
Let's stand and sing together. Seek ye first. It's hymn number 405.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. You may be seated. Joe is going to read our scripture now.
Our reading for today is Luke 12:22-31. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, or what you will wear. For the life is more than food, the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap. They have no store or barn, they have got nothing. How much more valuable are you than you are and have earth? Who of you, by worry, can add 2 hours to your life? And then you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. You do not labor or fear. And I tell you, even Solomon, all the splendor of his death and one of these. And that is how God clothes the grass and the field. He is here today and tomorrow is going into the fire. How much more he clothes you? You little baby. And do not set your heart on what you eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things. Your father knows that he is there. He gives you these things to give to you. The word of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Joe. Well, Pastor will be back tomorrow evening, Pastor Chris and Sarah. And we need to pray for them to have a good trip home and to be rejuvenated and ready for 2024 and what lies ahead. It's January, the first month of 2024. It's a year we don't see what's going to happen yet. We don't know. It's a blank slate right now. Some of us are so happy to say goodbye to 2023. Some of us have had health issues, family issues. 2023 was not a great year for us. But then there are others that 2023 was one of their best years ever, and they hated to see it go. I'm hopeful that today you'll leave with a spark lit to work for this year, 2024, to be the best year. Have you made your New Year's resolution yet? Have we made them? I believe we all think of it around New Year's Eve and the day, next day, but how serious are we? We know a lot of people are going to go for a healthy diet, to lose weight, to go to the gym and work out. Now, none of them work for me. I'm not going to say any of them. And when I have tried to do a New Year's resolution, it lasts maybe the end of January. First of February, I noticed that I have forgotten that I said that. So really, New Year's resolutions are not really deep. What if as Christians, we resolve to do something that would really make an impact on 2024. One that maybe people would even notice. Today, I am hoping that we will seriously consider something new. I'm going to suggest a new way to think of New Year's resolutions. I'm going to suggest some different avenues to maybe take for our resolution. The first one is obey. Just the word obey. You know, think of Adam and Eve, and if they had just obeyed, what would our world be like today? God meant for us to live in paradise. God meant for us to have Him among us, to be someone we knew that was our friend. If they had just obeyed, we probably would be living in paradise right now. our scripture gives us another look at how God wants to take care of us. Nothing is prettier than a field of wildflowers, or a beautiful yard that's all landscaped and beautiful. There's nothing prettier. And God made that. That's the beauty God would like us to live in. And if we could obey, we could do many, many things with our life. So how could obey be a resolution, really? Have you ever had an urge to do something, to step in or to speak up when something's going on? Have you ever felt that urge, like maybe I should step up and help or do what I can do? But we tend to ignore that urge and just stay out of it. We're too busy. We don't have time to stop. We don't want to get involved in a mess. But what if that was God speaking to you? That urge was telling you to step up. I've learned that if I listen to these urges, and I mean, I've had some urges that are so strong, I can't just let it go. If we listen to those urges, I'm often the one that is blessed. God nudges me, I think, with urges to get my attention. Maybe this year we could listen, maybe even expect God to urge us toward what we should be doing at that moment. But we have to learn to listen and obey. Jeremiah 7:23 says, "Obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people." Listen for God to guide you, and then obey him. You will be blessed over and over living that kind of a life of obeying. But if obeying doesn't sound like it's what you might want to do, how about the word serving? Serving, being a servant. Does anybody come to mind that you can think of that we consider them a servant of God? They gave their lives. Like Mother Teresa, or Billy Graham, or this week, we've had a lot on TV and stuff about Martin Luther King. What about someone from your past? Or someone even today that you see serving? When I was in middle school, my Sunday school teacher's name was Jimmy James. And I've talked about Jimmy before. I know I have. And I'm always perplexed as to why his mother would name him James James. But that was his name. And his brother was John James. And Jimmy James was blind. And he was such a servant of God, you could see it in everything he did. He had a little black Bible that was leather, and it zipped. I have one that is red. And the zipper had a cross for the zipper pulley. And while he was talking to us and teaching us, he just kept rubbing that cross. It was rubbed smooth. He had so much faith that he shared with all of us just by the way he lived. His eyes, he never tried to hide his blindness, and his eyes were always looking up. And I truly believe it's because he was in constant prayer. He was in constant communication with God, and so his eyes are up. To serve God, God asks us to serve others. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Even the man that Jesus knew was going to betray him. His friend Mary poured expensive oil on his feet and wiped them dry with her hair. And the disciples were not happy. that oil would have brought them a lot of money, and she shouldn't have wasted it. And Jesus rebuked them and said that she was being a servant, that what she was doing was good and blessed. So just be aware of someone's needs. A kind word, just a smile, or a hug can do so much for another person. If someone's struggling picking something up off the floor, how hard is it for us, some of us, most of us, to pick it up for them? Or if they're reaching, how hard is it for us to just help them? Now, obviously, a lot of my life is spent in a grocery store, but I have found that is a great place to serve. After service last night, Pam Lynch was telling me when she was in all of her braces that she had to wear for so long, she was in the grocery store, and somebody stopped, a gentleman stopped, and asked if he could pray with her. And they had prayer right there in the aisle of Walmart. And everyone, as they came down the aisles, they all stopped and listened to that prayer. I was shopping with a grandchild, and I'm not sure what I said or did, because I say a lot, but a lady asked if I would like to hear a song that her grandchild had just written and was singing. And so there we stopped, right in the aisle, and we listened to that song. And again, people didn't, like, push past us or be disgusted. They stopped. That's serving God. Just being prepared, just letting, being open to what God wants you to stop and do. Be watchful. People will sense God in you. Just by being kind, by your serving, they will see God. All right, so I have another word. If neither of those sound too, you know, you don't really care about them or care to do them, how about caring? Serving and caring sound similar, but there is a difference. Jesus cared for people that appalled many of the Jewish leaders. Remember the adulteress? They caught her, and Moses' law told them they had to stone her to death. So they were outside of town, and this woman was cowering down on the ground. The men had a circle around her with stones in their hands. And do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, whoever is without sin should throw that first stone. And Jesus just knelt down and was doodling in the sand. He did that a lot. And pretty soon he looked up and they were all gone. And he said to the woman, where are your accusers? And she said, they left. And he said to her, okay, you get up and you go, but leave your life of sin here. And she did. He didn't judge her. He just cared. We can do that. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor others above yourselves. Think of what someone needs, and don't worry about yourself. If you can help them, help them. Caring takes no money, no big hassle. It doesn't have to take a lot of time. You just need God to make you aware of someone who needs a little bit of human caring. This next one I'm suggesting is something that we need God's help not to do, and that is judging. One thing I have learned as I have grown in my Christianity is there's only one judge, and it's not me. I don't have to judge. I'm not to judge anybody. But I need to always be aware of my beliefs. I need to share them, defend them, live them in everything I do. If I feel something is against my beliefs, I mustn't do it, no matter what people say around me. If I think it's wrong, it is wrong for me. But I don't need to tell everybody else they're wrong. It's not my job. I just need to tell them why it's wrong for me. Speak up. If something is against my beliefs, I can't do it, no matter. I believe my conscience is God guiding me. And I believe that temptation is Satan calling me. I pray for discernment to know that God is leading me. And I pray for the strength to live my faith. One of my favorite Bible verses is found in Matthew chapter 7. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now that should make us sit up and take notice. Because I can kind of be a judger. And I can be harsh, and I'm wrong. I work hard to not do that anymore. But boy, I have three sisters, and we used to just go and people watch, and pretty soon we'd be giggling, and we'd be judging people as they went by us. And it was fun, but it was wrong. So it's just not my job. Instead of judging, lead with your life. And pray that God will work through you. Be an example people might want to be like. Pray for them instead of judging them. And then let God do the rest. I have one more. I believe this is my last. Giving. Now, this is a tricky one. Because God asked Abraham to give him his son. God asked Jonah to give him his time. Jesus asked his disciples to be willing to give their lives. Today, I think the first thing that we think of when we say giving is that we have to give something tangible. We have to give money or food or clothing. That's not all the giving that we have to do. There are so many other things we can give. Giving our time is so helpful, such an action of God. But it's hard to do. We're busy. Our time is valuable. Excuse me. But it is the best thing to give when you can. Giving advice can be good if it's directed by God. Giving, however it's done, is always good. When we give, we need to remember that God loves a cheerful giver. If you feel like this is something you have to do, if you resent kind of giving them what you're giving, like if you were to give money and think, I was so close to getting that new purse, now I have to start saving over again. If that's how you're feeling, don't give. Don't do it. Don't do it. Be glad that you're able to do it. Many people don't have what we have to give. So thank God that you have what he's given you. Jesus' words on giving are similar to his words on judging. Luke 6:38, he says, "Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap." Now, speaking as a baker, I could picture all this. The pressing down, we press down the brown sugar to make sure our measure is full. We press down shortening to make, or butter, or to make sure that it's a full measure, that there's not an air pocket that's keeping that from being the right measurement. The shaking together, we do that, or I do that with sugar and flour. You kind of shake it and tap it, again, to make sure it's all in there so we can give the full measure. And then to have it poured into your lap, well, that means you end up with more than you started with. And that is how God works. That's how God works when we are serving him so often. If we give, we get way more back. God wants us to be proud, not boastful, to give. It is going to spoil the whole thing if you try to make sure everyone knows just what you gave. Now again, I can say these words, but I have probably done them. As I got older, I was able to give more, and I just was so proud. But I kind of wanted people to know I was able to do that, and that's wrong. That's not giving. A resolution is so easy to break, isn't it? I don't know of anybody that did the resolution for the entire year. Really, we kind of make fun of it. Sometimes people do ridiculous things that they know they aren't going to do. It's kind of a joke. What if this year we make a promise, a vow, that we would take one of these actions that I've talked about and try to use it every day? To get up in the morning and before we do anything else, talk to God and ask him to use that action today, for him to guide you to what you could do. And then watch throughout the day. And there will be opportunities, plenty of them. We need to hold ourselves accountable to our Heavenly Father. He leads us in serving him, obeying, caring, or giving. And there's a lot more. We have 11 full months left. We have 315 days, counting today, left in 2024 to fulfill the promise that we would make. This is my challenge to me and to all of you today. Let's try this. Let's promise. Let's make a vow to God and do it for 315 days, and then talk about our year when we get to the end. Amen? We want to stand, and we're going to have a hymn. Oh, the offering. I told them last night, I have to mess up somehow. We're going to have our offering now. Here's my bulletin. We're going to have the offering now. The ushers will be coming forward and passing the plate. Thank you. Father, please take these, our gifts to you, use them in your way, and make all of this be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you can sing.
Let's sing our closing hymn, Standing on the Promises, hymn number 374.
Close with a benediction. Go with us today. Help us make a difference, not just today, but every day. We praise you for all you are and all you've given us. Amen.
Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet.